in the Gospel by Matthew in chapter 2. For those of us who were here this morning, we looked a little bit at Luke chapter 2 in connection with the birth of Christ. And now I thought it'd be appropriate tonight to read a section of Matthew chapter 2 where the wise men come to worship the Lord. Matthew chapter 2 then, and verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And the Lord will bless the reading of his word to us. Our Father, we just ask in thy presence tonight for a blessing upon the scriptures that we will be thinking about. And we pray for every one of us who are gathered here this evening, that we might receive instruction from thyself on the scriptures that we have before us. So bless thy word to each of our hearts tonight. Help us to feel the sympathy and the understanding of our great high priest tonight, who is in thy presence. Loving Father, we thank thee that he has sent down his Holy Spirit to guide us and given us the precious word that we have in our hands. And we pray a blessing upon the same tonight. For thy people here, we ask a blessing in the Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen. You know, it's been a good time of fellowship for us to be with you today. We've really enjoyed the time at the Lord's Supper this morning, and also sharing in the preaching this morning. And we've enjoyed the time very, very much. And we thank you for that, for having us here. And we were thinking this morning about the idea of receiving a gift. Now, what's before us tonight is, and it's expressed in verse 11, And when they were come into the house, that is the wise men, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts. So, we, this morning, the thought was, we've received a gift. And then, the thought for the evening is to bring gifts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, where we do that is primarily in a collective sense, is at the Lord's Supper. Now, I think most of us here this evening, we're at the Lord's Supper this morning, from 9:30 to 10:30 in this assembly. Every week, the Lord's Supper is celebrated, and it's at that time, collectively, that the assembly comes together to worship. Now, I want to take some time tonight to speak about the subject of worship now in a very, very simple way, because I've got a very simple mind. But I want to refer to a few scriptures in relation to this that might be helpful for every one of us, for the brethren, and also for the sisters, that when we come together, you know, between 9:30 and 10:30 to the Lord's Supper, that we might be exercised about the thought of worship. That's really, I want us to be helped on that tonight, by the Lord's help, to help us in relation to this wonderful, wonderful privilege that we have when we come together. You know, the first question in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9, when Adam sinned and God came into the garden and he said to Adam, "Where art thou?" You see, Adam was away from God now. He had sinned. And God's question to Adam was, "Where art thou?" And we want to be sure that every one of us this morning, or this evening, where God would have us to be, in the place that God would have us to be in. And that's why he called Adam, to bring Adam back to himself. Now, it's very interesting, I think, that the first question in the New Testament is, "Where is he? Where is he?" It was God inquiring after the sinner in the Old Testament, and now it's men who are inquiring after Christ in the New Testament. Where is he? Where is he? Now, the wise men had come to worship. They said, "Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." We've come to worship him. And that's why they came. That's why they came on that long journey. They came to worship him. They came to worship him. And we see in verse 11 again that when they did come to Bethlehem, that they did, in fact, worship him. Verse 11 reads again, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him." Isn't it interesting, beloved, tonight that Mary was there and the Lord Jesus was there in the house, and we read that they worshipped him. They didn't worship Mary, his mother. They worshipped him. They were spirit-taught worshippers, as we see here. "And they opened their treasures, and they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh." And that's good, isn't it? And that's what I want to use this evening as a picture of what we do when we come together to remember the Lord. We're like the wise men. We have come to worship him. And then after the meeting is over, hopefully we can say that we did, in fact, worship him. Now, I want to make an application to the Lord's Supper for us today. That's why we gather around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know tonight that most of you are familiar with these things, but it's good to go over them again, and particularly for those that might not be so familiar with them. We need to instruct the younger ones in these things, and we have a wonderful privilege when we come together. You know, beloved, I'll tell you this. I say this without fear of contradiction tonight. that when we remember the Lord in the way that we do, there is nothing like it in the whole world. There's nothing like it in the whole religious world. What we do when we come together at that time to remember the Lord, there's nothing like it any place. It just is a wonderful thing, that the privilege that we have to do this. You know, the Israelites in the Old Testament, they came together on three occasions in the year. And in Exodus 23 and 15, the Lord says, when you come together at these times, none of you shall appear before me empty. Exodus 23 and 15. Exodus 34 and 20, the Lord goes over these three things again: the Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of the Ingathering. Exodus 34 and 20, he says, when you come together these three times of the year, none of you shall appear before me empty. None of you shall appear before me empty. In Deuteronomy 16, in verse 16, again, where we have the three feasts of the year brought before us, the Lord again says in Deuteronomy 16 and verse 16, none of you shall appear before me empty. Okay? Now, I just think that there's a good word there for us all. That when we come together, the Lord would have us to have prepared hearts to worship Him. Eh? I think, you know, and in the Old Testament, which is a good guide for us in this, that the Israelite brought his offering. He brought his offering. Now, it's obvious to me when I read the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus particularly, that where we have the offerings that were brought. In fact, they were brought. They were brought. The Israelite didn't come along with nothing and expect to worship the Lord. No, he brought his offering with him. He brought his offering with him. And then when he came to the tent of meeting, he was able to take his offering and he was able to present it to the Lord. Now, I think there's a spiritual application for us, that's how we should be. When we come together to remember the Lord, we should come with something to offer. Our hearts should be prepared. Now, don't come along determined to take part, but come along exercised to take part, eh? As the Lord leads. So that's what I have in mind here as a picture in Matthew chapter 2 of what we do when we come together to remember the Lord in the breaking of bread. Now, I want us to look at some scriptures tonight that are relevant to this, and then we'll make some applications as we go. Let's turn to John's Gospel, chapter 4, and I want us to study the scriptures tonight and see what the scripture say about these things. In John's Gospel, chapter 4, then, where the Lord is speaking to the woman at the well, and she says in verse 20, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, that is the Mount of Gerizim, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. So she mentions Gerizim. She says to the Lord, you worship in Jerusalem, which was the gathering center where Solomon's temple was built and God dwelt in the temple. And the Lord answers her in verse 21. And Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain, in Gerizim, nor yet at Jerusalem, worship the Father. This worship will be set aside. It'll be set aside. And he says to her in verse 22, ye worship ye know not what. The worship of these people, the Samaritans, had no basis in Scripture at all. No scriptural base for it. And the Lord says to her, in the light of that, ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers. And interesting, that expression, when a few weeks ago or a few months ago, that expression just jumped out the page to me, to my heart. When the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The Father seeketh such to worship him. Now, what I want to gather from this scripture, beloved, is that God the Father is looking for worship. The Father seeketh such to worship him. And who does he want to worship him? Well, the Lord speaks about here the true worshippers. The true worshippers. Yeah? What a lovely expression that is. And can we say tonight, by the grace of God, that we are the true worshippers. The true worshippers. Those are the ones that God the Father is seeking to worship him. And the Lord says the worship of the Father will be in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. It'll be in spirit in contrast to the ceremonialism of Jerusalem. And it'll be in truth in contrast to the error of Gerizim. That's how we worship the Father. We come together definitely taken up with the truth. And by and in the Spirit, we come together to worship God our Father. It's a lovely thing that is, isn't it? To come together in this way, with this purpose in mind, to worship the Father, our God and Father. A reconciled God, we come to worship him. Now, let's look at a scripture in Revelation chapter 1, and we'll see what the Lord has made us in order to enable us to do this. Revelation chapter 1. In verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. And John breaks out here. Unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And notice the next expression. And has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He's loved us. He's washed us. And he's made us. Now, do we go that far in our thinking, beloved? Do we think that God has not only loved us, not only has he washed us, but he's made us a kingdom of priests, a kingdom of priests? Do you ever look on yourself as that? That you and I, by the grace of God, we are priests. Priests. We are priests. A wonderful thought. A wonderful thought. Now, I want us to go to 1 Peter now and look at a scripture and see how the Lord has made us priests. 1 Peter and chapter 1, first of all, and leading into chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 1, and I want us to do a study tonight. I want us to study this and get it into our minds and into our hearts, that then we might put it into practice. So 1 Peter 1 in verse 18, he says that we've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. That's verses 18 and 19 of 1 Peter chapter 1. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. We've been redeemed by the blood of Christ, out of a lamb without spot and without blemish. So keep in mind that God has redeemed us, and the price of our redemption was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We've been redeemed and we've been born again. Our redemption was by the blood of Christ, and our new birth was by the word of God. Two things, two great and glorious truths: redemption and the new birth. And I hope every one of us have had this experience in our lives, because if we have, we can lead on from that and go into chapter 2 and verse 5, verse 4 for connection. He says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, do you see that? That we are a holy priesthood. A holy priesthood. Now, again, we were thinking about the Old Testament. If you think about Aaron, the great high priest, or the high priest in the Old Testament, Aaron had a family of priests. Now, they knew both these things of 1 Peter chapter 1 in a typical way. They knew redemption by the blood of the Lamb in Exodus chapter 12. They came under the blood of the Lamb when they were in Egypt in Exodus chapter 12. So they knew redemption by the blood of the Lamb. Not only that, but Aaron's family were born into Aaron's house, and by the right of their birth, they were priests. You get the point? Redemption and birth made them priests. And that's what Peter is saying to you and I tonight. You've known the redemption, a far greater redemption than them, by the precious blood of Christ. You have known a birth, a far greater birth than what Aaron's family knew, the new birth by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And because of that, he says, you are now a holy priesthood. A holy priesthood. So I would suggest to us tonight that when we come together to remember the Lord, we come together as a holy priesthood. A holy priesthood. And our function, the reason why we're like that, the reason why we're gathered, and what we're gathered for, in the language of 1 Peter 2 and 5, it's to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God by Jesus Christ. That's why we're there, to offer up. You know, most people, and I sympathize with them tonight, when they come together It's to hear a man deliver a sermon. They come together to what's called a worship meeting to hear a man deliver a sermon, and hopefully it's a good man, and hopefully it's a good sermon. But beloved, there's something here that's far greater than that. Far, far greater. To come together as a holy priesthood to offer up, not to hear the ministry, but to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God through Jesus Christ. Now my point is this, that when a man stands up here to speak, like, it's what's happening, it's coming down and then it's going out. That's ministry. But worship isn't coming down and going out. Worship is ascending. Worship is going up. It's going up. And that's what we do as a holy priesthood. We come together to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God by Jesus Christ. Now, my next little point is, where do we worship? Where do we worship? Well, I'm going to ask you to turn again to a scripture in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. In verse 19, we'll pick up the reading there. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. There it is. Where do we worship? We worship in the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now, you know, if you've read your Bible, that the tabernacle in the wilderness was divided into three parts, but there was one place called the holiest of all. And it was only once a year, that the high priest alone could enter into the holiest of all. But now, as we were hearing this morning, the veil has been rent. And that's our privilege, to enter in to the holiest by the blood of Jesus. It's all our privileges to do that. It's yours and mine to enter into the holiest. Where do we worship? We worship in the holiest. As one brother quaintly said once, our feet are in this building, but our hearts and our spirits are in the holiest of all. That's wonderful, isn't it? We have access. He doesn't say some of you have access. He says, having therefore, brethren, all of us, all the brethren, boldness, freedom of speech, liberty, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That's what allows us to do that. We have a great priest in the presence of God by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, we sung about him tonight, with joy we meditate the grace of our high priest above. The Lord Jesus is there. And because he's there, we can enter in spirit, in the worship of God, his Father. Having an high priest over the house of God, he says, let us draw near. Let us draw near. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Beloved, this is our privilege, to worship God the Father in the holiest of all, when we come together in this way to worship him. In Hebrews 13 and 15, by him let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Giving thanks to his name. So that's just a little bit of an outline of worship and what we seek to do when we come together on this wonderful occasion, Lord's Day after Lord's Day, to remember the Lord with the bread and wine, to eat and drink, and to show forth his death until he come. We come together to worship. We come together to worship. Now, I was impressed with the meeting this morning. I was impressed with the meeting. I enjoyed the meeting. I remember two brethren. Well, it was that country over the ocean, you know. They were speaking about the Lord's Supper, and one said to the other, he said, "What did you think of the meeting this morning?" And the brother, and it was Isaac Ewan, he was known to Mr. McNeil, and Isaac said in his quaint way, "You know, it's not so much what did I think of the meeting this morning." He said, "Oh, what did the Lord think of the meeting this morning?" Eh? Now, having said that, I enjoyed the meeting. And I'm going to tell you one of the things that I enjoyed about it. One of the things, I enjoyed many things about it, but one of the things that I enjoyed about the meeting this morning, and I'll have to qualify this after I say it, but before we partook of the emblems, there was no public reading of the scriptures this morning. Now, you say, dear me, are you saying that you shouldn't read the script? No, I'm not saying that at all. That's not what I'm saying. But we come together to worship. And that's what we did. We came together, and one after another, you know, the Lord just touched a heart here and there in the brethren, and they gave, and they rose to their feet, and they worshipped. And I'm sure that worship ascended into the ear of the Father, and he was delighted with it. You know, there's something else too that I want to say that might be helpful here. That while the sisters don't take part in a public way at the Lord's Supper, they don't take part in a public way, their presence is felt. Presence is spiritually felt by their dress, by their demeanor. And I'm sure that there is worship rising from the hearts of our beloved sisters as well. I'm sure of that. In fact, it might very well be that when we get to the judgment seat, we might find out that there was more worship from the sisters than there was from the brethren. You know, but oh, sisters, come along with an exercise at the Lord's Supper, just like Mary, to break that alabaster box and fill the house with the odor of the ointment. We need you. We need your presence in a spiritual way for worship and for time spent. It's just wonderful to have the sisters with a spiritual exercise about these things, even though, and I want to repeat this, even though they're not taking part in a public sense, in a public way. When I was in England a couple of years ago, I visited Brother David down in Newcastle, and he told me a story. He told me a story about, he said he was someplace on business, and he had the opportunity to go and hear W.W. Faraday. Now, that name maybe doesn't mean too much to most of you here, but W.W. Faraday was one of the, what I would say, if I could say this, he was one of the leading men amongst the brethren, without doubt. And he was in this town where my brother David was, and he was going to minister the word, and I think at that time he was 96 years old. 96, just a young 96-year-old. And he got up and he gave an exposition of Hebrews chapter 10, and he spoke for an hour and a half on Hebrews chapter 10. But in the middle of his ministry, he gave an experience. He said, you know, when I was a very young man, I attended the Anglican Church. And he said, somebody invited me to come along and observe at the Lord's Supper, which I did. And he said, when I came into the building, well, he said, that's what it was. It was a building. And he said, the first thing that impressed me was the things that weren't there, that I was used to in the Anglican Communion. There were no vestments. There was no bishop administering in his vestments. There was no incense. There was no ornate music. And he said, we came in. We were sitting there. And from this side of the room, a brother would rise to his feet and give out a hymn. Then we would sing the hymn, and after it, somebody else would rise to their feet over here and give a word of thanksgiving. And he said, that went on for the whole meeting. And he said, much to my astonishment, after the meeting was over, I found out that there was nothing prearranged. Nothing prearranged. And I'll tell you this, and he went on to say, he said, when I saw that, as a young man, he said to himself, that's the place for me. That's the place. And he quit the Anglican Fellowship, and he came in among the brethren and wrote many, many books, gave much ministry, and lived to the ripe old age of close to 100. And he enjoyed the fellowship of the Lord's people. Wonderful thing we have, brethren. It's a wonderful thing, a wonderful heritage that we have based on the Scriptures. I just want to say one thing in closing. One thing in closing. You know, when we've been thinking about this idea of the priesthood, you know, and it's one of the things that we hold is the priesthood of all believers. The priesthood of all believers. Yeah. Now I want that. I want us to get a hold of that tonight. This is the priesthood of all believers. Yeah. Now, what a wonderful thing it would be, you know, if in this meeting, next Lord's Day, that if the brethren came along exercise to take part, so that we hear voices that we've never heard before. I tell you this, it'd be a blessing. The blessing would come down. The saints would be blessed. The Lord's presence would be felt. A wonderful, wonderful thing. We hear the same brethren, and we're the same up the north too. It's the very same thing. The two or three that take part, and we bless them for that. But we need to hear the other voices too. This is your privilege and mine. We come together as a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God by Jesus Christ. It doesn't take gift to do that. It doesn't take gift. It takes heart. It takes a heart that's in love with Lord Jesus Christ just to stand up and please don't be long. Don't stand up for 15 minutes or 10 minutes. Just stand up and say thanks to the Lord for what he's done for each one of us by going to the cross, dying for us, rising, living for us, and one day coming again. That's what we need to hear. We need to be refreshed when we come together to hear the different brethren taking part, the priesthood of all believers. So, brethren, all I can say in closing, like what the writer to the Hebrews said, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation. Take it to heart. Speak to the Lord about it, to exercise your heart, that when we come together, that we might function in this way at the Lord's Supper. And the saints, God will be glorified, and the saints in the assembly will be blessed. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence again tonight and give thee thanks for thy precious word. We pray, loving Father, that thou wilt bless it to each one of us. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, thy beloved Son, the one that we think about who came into this world to save sinners. We thank thee, blessed God and Father, that thou hast made those sinners that the Lord has saved, thou hast made them priests to worship thyself. Help us to do so. Help us to be a blessing one to another in our fellowship as we come together, that we might rejoice in the things of the Lord together. Part us now with thy richest blessing, and take of our grateful thanks in the name and for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.